His name. But as a congregation, what we're attempting to do, trying to do the best of our ability, is to get back to the same kind of worship that was true in the New Testament church. When you read your New Testaments, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts, you find a church there. And that was the church that belonged to Christ. And that's what we want to be. We want to belong to the church and have a part in the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we sing of heaven. So we're glad that you're here this morning, and I'd like to sort of talk about something this morning that is important to us. Beginning back with the book of Genesis, of course, 1 and 2, we have the record of the creation of the world by God, and put in the Garden of Eden was Adam and Eve. And as they were there, they had everything they needed, but there was a tree in the Garden of Eden that they were not supposed to touch nor to eat from, though they had every other kind of tree for their benefit. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they were forbidden to eat of that. But as we know about human beings, sometimes they don't pay attention to God, and they did eat of the fruit. And they were condemned by God in sin because they broke His commandment. But after they were made to leave the garden, there was a promise that God made. And it was made through Eve that of her seed, a Christ would come that would redeem the world. And the rest of the Bible is the story of how that the redemption came through Jesus Christ. At the table this morning, Brother Talley read from Isaiah 53 that described the life of the Savior. He was not a handsome man, the Bible says to us. He was not a person that you would look upon to desire to be with Him. But it was made to be sin in the sense that He took the punishment that was due to us. The book of Ezekiel says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." We've all sinned, and we ought to die. But John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, not die, but have everlasting life. So this is introduces then Jesus as the Savior of the world. And all the rest of the Old Testament talks about this Savior that was going to come. We hear a lot about the man Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham was a godly man. He believed in God and obeyed God. And God said to him that through your seed, He was beginning to plant the Jewish nation, through your seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. In calling Abraham aside, He established the Jewish nation. They were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and then under Moses and Joshua, they came out and entered the Promised Land. And during the Promised Land, there were promises made to the people of Israel that this Messiah would come, this Christ, later revealed to us as Jesus, the Son of God. And as we look at the Old Testament, the prophets of God, the true prophets, not fake prophets, but men who were moved by the Holy Spirit, they talked about something that would be done. And what that was going to do was to establish a kingdom of God. So we want to talk about the kingdom this morning and recognize that the term kingdom is equal with the idea of the church. And so as you look at the Bible, you begin to understand that God had in plan to save mankind by bringing Christ, and Christ was going to establish a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly kingdom. Now, Solomon David had an earthly kingdom, but the kingdom that God was going to establish for the salvation of mankind was a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus said to the Jews, don't look here or there. You're not going to be able to see the kingdom because the kingdom is within you. And as He later talked to Nicodemus, Jesus, while He was still alive, He talked to Nicodemus, and He talked about a spiritual rebirth. And so you're talking in terms of something spiritual, not fleshly. And when He said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that he would bring about a new birth, Nicodemus didn't understand that. He was on a fleshly level. And he said, how is it possible for a man to enter his mother's womb and be born again. He just didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, like a lot of people. But Jesus said that this new birth would be consisting of the water and the Spirit. And it would be a new birth so that all people who come into the kingdom of God would be born again. And so you began to look then, where is the kingdom of God? Where is it today? Well, you began looking at the Old Testament. There are many prophets. One of them was Daniel. And Daniel prophesied in chapter 2 that the kingdom of Christ would come in the days that he prophesied of certain kings. And those were the Roman kings. So it was going to come in the day of the Roman kings. Then you have another prophet by the name of Isaiah. And in chapter 2, these are easy to remember. If you want to take notes, feel free to. If you look at Isaiah 2, Isaiah said the kingdom of God was going to come in Jerusalem. And then you have another prophet by the name of Joel. And again, in chapter 2, that the kingdom of God was coming when the Holy Spirit was given. And so this gives us some clues about the kingdom of God to really understand it and to appreciate that God was concerned with us. He wants us to be saved. Peter came along as an apostle later. He said, God is not willing that man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And therefore, God wants us to be saved. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. Now then, did this ever happen? Did the kingdom of God ever come? Well, when you look now at the book of Acts, are you surprised? Chapter 2. Real easy to remember if you want to study later at home about what I'm talking about. And I encourage you to look at your Bibles, because everything we do is planned by the Bible. I want you to understand about the Church of Christ. We don't have a headquarters on earth. Our headquarters is in heaven with Jesus. We don't have a committee or a creed that tells us what to believe. We go to the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired. And so we believe what the Bible says. So we understand that in the Bible, God planned a spiritual kingdom in which people were going to be saved. In Acts chapter 2, what you have in chapter 2 is the fact that the world that time was under the Roman rule. And so we have one of the fulfillments of Daniel being fulfilled as you look at Daniel chapter 2, fulfilled in Acts 2. Well, where did all this take place? It took place in the city of Jerusalem. As you began reading in Acts chapter 2, Jesus had died in the Gospels. He had died, been buried, and now was raised. And he had ascended back to heaven. And he left behind the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon those individuals. And it was sort of interesting to think about the apostles. Before Jesus was raised, they were pretty crude guys in a lot of ways. They argued who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And they were jealous of one another and that sort of thing. But after Jesus was raised, they realized he was the Messiah. He was the King of Israel. And that everything was going to take place through Jesus. Well, when they were gathered together in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, something significant happened. The Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit was given. And I want to turn with you to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to see the fulfillment of all of these scriptures. And I ask you to go along with me and read. What we've got is that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascended back to heaven. And as he ascended back to heaven, he left the Holy Spirit for the apostles to guide them and to teach them. Now, when you understand the importance of this, what the apostle said was exactly what God wanted. Exactly what God wanted. And the apostles were given the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, and 16 talks about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to have to go away. And they were forlorn because their Savior was leaving. They didn't understand that he was going to die first. But he said, I've got to go away, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you childless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, which he called the Comforter. He'll comfort you, but what he's going to do, what the Holy Spirit will do to these apostles, there were 12 of them, number one, he's going to guide you into all the truth. He's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I taught you. And so Jesus had taught the apostles, but they really didn't sink in a lot like Nicodemus. And when the Holy Spirit came, miraculously by the Holy Spirit, they remembered what Jesus taught and they understood everything that Jesus wanted them to know. Now, they wrote the Bible. They caused the Bible to be written. Paul said in Ephesians 3 verse 4, "Hereby when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ." He's not saying that Christ was mysterious, but that the whole story about Christ was hidden in the mind of God until it was revealed to the apostles in Acts 2. And so here's a great chapter. You have the Old Testament being connected to the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, and something wonderful happens in Acts chapter 2. I want to begin reading with you. As the Jews had gathered, we mentioned Passover a moment ago. The Lord's Supper is taken from the Passover feast. That's why we have unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. But at the Passover, that's when Jesus died. And the Jews around the world came to Jerusalem for the Passover. It was a major holy day for the Jews. And 50 days later was going to be the day of Pentecost, which is another Jewish holy day. So many of the Jews stayed, and they were gathered at the temple to worship. And the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles. And here were Jews from all these different nations around the world, different languages. But again, a miracle took place. The Holy Spirit led the apostles to speak in tongues. Now, I don't know what you know about tongues, but it's not gibberish. The tongues were the languages of the Jews who came from all the different parts of the world. So when the apostles preached, they understood. Because the apostles spoke in their tongues. That's the tongues of the New Testament, languages. Amen. Well, as they listened, something bad happened. You know, people today go to church to be made feel good. In Florida, I saw a picture of a woman that had a church, and her church was the feel-good church. And she had, her symbol was the round little face, orange with a smile, the feel-good church. Peter didn't know about that. And the apostles didn't know about that because they did something pretty bad. They called them sinners. The Jews that were there, many of them had been present when Jesus was crucified, and the Jews called out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they needed to know that they were sinners. See, there's two parts to the gospel. One part is the bad part, where you have to let people know that sinning is bad. And that everybody sins. Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That includes me and that includes you. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin are death. We've sinned, so we ought to die. Here's the good part of the gospel. Jesus took my place. The punishment that was due to me and to you of death was the fact that Jesus died in your place. He was wounded. Isaiah 53 said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. That is, when the Romans had him, they whipped him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his brow. Now that's your head's tender. Can you imagine those big long thorns sticking into your head? And finally they hung him on a tree. They crucified him. Jesus paid the price for your sins. Amen. And mine. But now, what are you going to do once you're there? Well, the Bible tells us about this. Turn to Acts chapter 2. He's got all these Jews from all around the world, and here's what he said, beginning with verse 29, Acts 2 in verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. So he wasn't talking about David now, but he was talking about David as a prophet. Verse 30, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. There's your kingdom. He's going to be a king, he's getting the kingdom, and he's going to sit on the throne. David, foreseeing this, spoke of the concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are witnesses. Now, the word witnesses is used in the legal sense there, because they actually were eyewitnesses of his resurrection, and they were testifying as in a court of law. Now look at verse 32. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So that was God talking to Jesus in the prophecy. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel, all these thousands of Jews that were there on that day, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, that's pretty bold, isn't it? But you know, there needs to be a time between you and the Lord when you admit that you're a sinner. There's no other way to come to God. And that's why Peter and the apostles were saying what they said on the day of Pentecost, because they had the opportune moment of all these thousands of Jews being there. They didn't want them just to go home happy. They wanted them to go home saved.
Amen.
And folks, that's the purpose of the gospel.
Amen.
And so as they were talking about these things, he laid at their feet their sins. Now that's my job. As a preacher of the gospel, I tell people, you're sinners. But I have too. I've sinned. And so we're all in sort of the same boat. What are we going to do about it? Well, this tells us what we're going to do. And verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. The King James says they were pricked in the heart. When's the last time you saw anybody pricked in the heart? Sort of rare, isn't it? You don't. Everything that's sinful today is so acceptable. You're acceptable if you're a lesbian. You're acceptable if you're homosexual. You're acceptable if you have an abortion. Just, you know, whatever people want to do. If you're living in adultery, if you're a beer-swallowing guzzler, no matter what it is, it's okay in today's world, but not with God.
Amen.
Not with God. So they, when they realized, we crucified the Son of God. When they said this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? Would you ask this morning? What are you going to do about your sins? You see, that's exactly what the gospel of Christ is all about. Go back to Genesis and recognize that Adam and Eve committed sin, and they were punished by leaving the garden. But God said through Abraham, there's going to come a Savior. And that Savior is going to be from the Jewish nation. And he's going to bring you salvation. And so this is what Acts 2 is about. Everything is coming to a fulfillment. Everything that God promised is now coming to pass. Salvation, the kingdom, the church, it's all coming to pass right now. And so when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now I'm going to give you the answer from the scriptures. It's not what you're going to hear by most people. Not long ago, there was a woman who bought a Bible. And she was searching for the sinner's prayer. And she couldn't find it. She looked all through the Bible. She couldn't find it. So she took the Bible back to where she bought it and said, "This is a faulty Bible. I can't find the sinner's prayer." Well, folks, it's not there. That's why she couldn't find it. Here's what the Bible says for you to do to become a Christian in verse 38. Peter said to them, notice he was being moved by the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now in that verse, the gift of the Holy Spirit is salvation. That's what they've been promised. And they're going to receive that. Look at verse 39. "For the promise is to you and to your children, to all of you who are far off, Jews and Gentiles." Jews and Gentiles. Now then, there's not a distinction anymore between Jews and Gentiles. Most of us are Gentiles. You might have some Jewish blood, I don't know, but we're included in the salvation. "For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he testified in exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." That's my advice too. Look around at the world, how pitiful it is. Look at the world in the newspaper, the murders, the abortions. This is one of my soapboxes. There have been about 6 million abortions in this country alone, since the Roe versus Wade decision by the Supreme Court that it's okay to kill babies. And now then, in our generation, not only killing the babies, but they're selling parts of the babies. You need a heart? We'll sell you a heart. You want some skin? We'll sell you skin. I mean, just look at the world around us and how wicked it's become. And he's saying, save yourself from this generation. Save yourself. Don't be part of it. Be converted. The word repent means to not only have godly sorrow, but it means to change your mind. What you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. How you used to talk, you don't want to talk anymore. You raise your level to the spiritual level. That's exactly what Peter is saying to these thousands of Jews. And so he said with many other words. So I may preach till midnight tonight. No, not really. I want to go on. Verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." Amen. And the King James says, added to the church. You see, all this has been planned by God. And the church, or the kingdom, is the place where saved people belong. And it takes repentance. And it takes baptism. And the order of that is, number one, as you hear the word of God, Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So you believe, you repent, change your mind about how you lived, confess the name of Christ publicly. "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." That has to be true in your heart. Then, when you've had that repentance and confession, you submit to baptism in water. That's what they did in Acts 2. That's what the Scriptures teach. Now, if you want to know something about the Church of Christ, we believe the Bible. Amen. We have no creed but the Bible. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us what to do and to practice. And so when people today want to know, as those people did, when you're cut to the heart about your sins, and you feel bad about your sins, and you want to change your life, what should you do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Now let me be sure to understand, there's nothing in the water. The water is just water. But there's a relationship here, and I'll close when I make this relationship. You have in the story of Christ the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And the Bible calls that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And there's something that repeats that in your life. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as you repent, you become dead in your sins. This isn't looking too dark. As you repent, you become dead to sin. It doesn't please you anymore. Then you're baptized, which is a burial in water. And then you're raised to walk in newness of life. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 6. And this is the very same thing that we've been talking about. And we'll go back to the Bible again, Romans chapter 6. And the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church at Rome. And let's begin with verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And so when you repent, you don't go back to the old way of life. Now then, look at verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into His death? Baptized in... What Jesus did for you, you're doing for Jesus. He died for you, and you die for Him when you repent of your sins. Then He says, therefore, because you become dead to sin, we are buried with Him through baptism into death. That's where the blood was shed. It's not the water that saves you, it's the blood of Christ that saves you. But where do you reach the blood of Christ? You reach the blood of Christ when you're baptized into His death. That's where the blood was shed. And that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life, which is also the new birth. So Jesus died for you, He was buried for you, and He was raised for you. And when you're baptized into Christ, you die to your sins, you're baptized, and you're raised to walk in newness of life. And that's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We want to be just a church that belongs to Christ. Understand, there are denominational names all over the place. The only right that we have to wear the name of Christ is to follow Christ. It's Romans 16, 16, the Apostle Paul saluted the churches of Christ. There was a church of Christ in the first century. What we want to do is to be that church. What we want to do is follow their plan of salvation. And so I preached this morning about sin, but I also preach about salvation and how you can become a child of God. If you ever have questions about this, I'll be glad to come to your home and sit down in this study with you about it. But it may be that somebody's been pricked in their hearts, wants to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today, and we'll help you do that this very day. If you understand the will of God, repent of your sins, that you're willing to confess proudly, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10 says it's with the mouth you make confession. And then be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, God will add you to the church. Amen. We can't vote on you. We don't believe in voting. Nobody gives us a right to vote on you. When you obey the gospel of Christ, Jesus adds you to the church. Acts 2 verse 47. Am I speaking to someone this morning who wants to reach out and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? We'll help you any way that we possibly can. While we stand and sing the invitation song, we'd invite you to come to the front.